boy with cousin Kevin. Do you think it's alright? Something about him I don't really like. Do you think it's alright?
Bonus episode. Hey everybody, how are you guys? What's happening? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. We got a bonus episode this week because of the release of my album on September 25th called Revenge of the Holocaust, available on iTunes September 25th, first day of Yom Kippur. Because of that, I'm adding an extra episode. So this episode was me and Kevin Shea, a friend of mine. We did HBO together. We did The Nasty Show, the Jim Norton's Down and Dirty, like in 2008. I guess we went out to New York and taped a set, and I guess we were already friends, but we became better friends then. But so I wanted to talk to him about being adopted or about something else, but we got sidetracked and we just kept talking about comedy. And by the time that we looked like we were getting to a subject, he had to go soon, and I was like, "Fuck, well, let's delay it, I guess, for next time." And the plan was to stop and to start right again, but then he had to go completely. And then anyway, I fucked it up like I fuck everything up. And so there's no real specific subject for this one. But it is a good episode anyway, because he's hilarious and we just talked for a while. But you'll see me fucking try to like steer the conversation away from what I wanted to actually get to. God. So anyway, follow Kevin Shea on Twitter. It is Kevin Shea Comedy. It's K-E-V-I-N. You guys get it on that. S-H-E-A Comedy. Or at all that. Whatever. You know how to follow people on Twitter. I guess my sponsors real quick. I got Amazon and I got Gamefly. Just go to my website. And if you're going to go to Amazon, go to my website first. Just click on the Amazon link and then it takes you to Amazon from my website, arishaffir.com. And then I get like a percentage of whatever you buy. Like 5%. It's actually pretty good. So if you guys keep doing that, it'll keep helping me support this my drug addict habit and this podcast. And that's it. But like I mentioned, my CD is coming out September 25th. I am putting out 4 free tracks. It's really 3 free tracks and an intro on my website. So if you go to arithegreat.com to sign up for the free Gamefly trial, which gives me $15, or the Amazon stuff, which gives me like a whatever percent, go... God, I'm chewing it up right now. Go to there and get the 4 free tracks for my album. I think you'll like it. It's fucking. I'm really happy with it. It's called Revenge for the Holocaust, and it's out on iTunes September 25th. Like, if you get off on Yom Kippur and you're like, "Hey, why am I off today?" Oh, it's because Ari's album is out, Revenge for the Holocaust, September 25th on iTunes. All right, and the tickets for Chicago go on sale. The big show, me and Joey Diaz. Are doing in Chicago November 8th at the House of Blues. Tickets go on sale Friday, tomorrow, September 14th. So hurry up. Honestly, I think it's going to sell out really quickly. So if you're a fan of this, please hurry up and get them like immediately. So the cool people are there over the people. I mean, I guess they'll all be cool. But I guess, yeah, you guys, if you want them, hurry up. 10 a.m. Ticketmaster from the House of Blues. And that's it. So here we go. Check out all my dates on arithegreat.com or arishaffir.com. And I hope you guys are enjoying these. Bonus episode, Kevin Shea. Let's call it... I can name bonus episodes, right? Kevin Shea and Ari Shaffir bonus episode. I'm not going to number it, but... I guess maybe comedy talk? Yeah, all right. All right. Bonus episode, comedy talk with Kevin Shea.
Stand up. This is comedy. The DNA lot of me left you smart. But can I stand up to beauty, dictator of the heart? Can stand up for hope, faith, love. But while I'm getting over certain stuff,
yeah.
We're talking about Bill Burr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does have a. You're right.
No, Bill has open mic drive as a pro. It's unbelievable. Like, when I do a week with him, I've never seen. Any comic, especially a headliner, excited about his work.
What do you mean?
Like, he gets off stage, he's like, "Oh, this bit worked. I like this bit." Like,
yeah, I saw him once outside. He would finish the main room. I was talking to him. Yeah. I could see he was like distracted.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, am I being an asshole?"
Yeah, yeah.
But then he was like, "I'm sorry. I figured out the ending to this joke."
Yeah.
And he's like, I think I'll do it. And he was like, I can't talk to you right now.
That's what I mean. It's unbelievable. How many headliners do you know are like that?
No, to really work on stuff like that.
Yeah, and especially at his level.
Well, you could coast.
Yeah, you could coast.
Yeah.
You could
at open mics, it's not acceptable to coast. People are like, you're doing the same bit from last week?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we coast.
Yeah.
We've done it. Yeah. We do it all the time. Yeah.
Sometimes I did a joke the other day. It was about, it was some Palestinian joke, and I used the word Arafat in there.
Okay.
And then I was like, and you can tell what this joke is because Arafat hasn't been the leader of Palestine for about 8 years.
Okay.
He's been dead for 6.
See, this is how much of it, I'm like, I don't even know what that reference is.
Oh, yeah. He ran the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation
Organization. I know comics.
But like when you use a reference, no longer even around.
That's what I mean.
It's like, dude.
Do you know comics who just update the movie? Like this.
Doesn't matter what the jokes are. It's like any action movie, this will work for.
You know what's unbelievable? Like,
what?
I love Bill because he can do new material and it's great. Like you can tell that he's working on stuff because he'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Like he's one of those guys who can just talk it out.
Yeah.
But then you'll have certain guys. I can't do this. It's driving me fucking nuts. But guys who can do the same 45 and do it on stage like it's their first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that people can do that.
The first time I saw Mark Curry.
Okay, Mark Curry,
hanging with Mr. Cooper. Mr. Coop. He set himself on fire.
What happened?
I think it was an explosion from some sort of like Lysol can or one of those type of cans, aerosol cans.
It wasn't like a drug thing?
No, I don't. It wasn't a prior thing.
Okay.
That's a pretty clean guy from what I've heard.
Yeah, he looks like...
It's a weird story. You know what? I should talk to him. It's a weird story.
You should.
Because then here's what... I don't know him at all. It's tough asking people I don't know. But here's what he did. So he set himself on fire. He's in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
His face is burned.
His face?
Yeah. It was like bad.
Well, I haven't seen him since.
And the story I heard was he was like, all right, I'm just going to... As soon as I get the chance, I'm finishing this.
Whoa.
I'm going to commit suicide as soon as I get out of here.
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying. This is what I've heard. I have to know if it's real or not.
So you mean in the hospital?
In the hospital, he's like, I'm going to do it.
Once I can do it, I'm going to kill
myself.
Kind of
like Makushla. See, whatever that girl's name is from Million Dollar Baby. You remember Million Dollar Baby?
Yes, but who's the character?
The chick. The chick.
The main chick?
Dude. Yeah.
The boxer.
Yeah, and when she was paralyzed.
Yeah, she's
that's
done.
It. If I can't box, I'm done.
Yeah, but she could do it to herself.
Right, but she needed help. But you make that decision, like, I'm done. She tried to do it to herself.
Yeah, I remember. Fucking... God, that's just such an old movie.
Yeah, it's a really good
movie. I'm thinking of Gone Baby Gone.
That movie made me call one girl that I didn't talk to and say, hey, I'm sorry, life is short. And almost call another girl. And I wish I had. I wish I had called the other girl because it caused me years of pain for no reason. Just be like, what are we doing fighting here?
Well, what's the fuck? Clint Eastwood. He has that movie, Gone Baby Gone.
What's Gone Baby Gone?
Where the younger Affleck is a detective.
The younger Affleck, the duck?
The
Gilbert Gottfried?
Ben Affleck's brother.
Oh. I was like, what?
No.
What are you talking about? A young Gilbert Gottfried?
No, they lose, they're looking for a baby.
Yeah.
And it discovered the main cop.
Any
Morgan
baby or
Freeman,
specific baby?
Specific baby.
Okay.
Morgan Freeman had taken the baby for a better life. And it's a long story.
Oh.
But he loves
babies.
That
shitty season 4 of fucking Sons of Anarchy.
I don't watch Sons of Anarchy.
You should watch it.
Why do people? Is it?
Here's. I say you watch it. Joe Lozon got me into it. This fighter got me into it. What? Half an episode in, and I was like, oh, I want to be in a biker gang. I'm done. I'm hooked.
You know why I refuse to watch it?
Why would you refuse to watch any art that people really love?
Let me tell you. I you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So getting fucked with as a kid from white people, especially white trash.
Yeah,
I don't like white trash. Like,
oh, yeah.
I can say that I'm a bit
the
racist.
White trash here is the they're
yes.
in charge.
And
there is a Jew in the white trash gang, though.
Ah,
if that helps at all.
Yeah, but I don't know nothing about Jews.
Yeah,
I didn't know that Jews were important until I moved to LA.
We're very important.
Apparently so.
No, by our numbers.
Apparently
by
so.
By the amount of numbers and how much you talk about us.
I don't talk about you.
People
do.
By the amount of numbers we have, we're very important.
You guys talk more about yourselves.
Hey, it's not our fault we run the media. Someone in the media has to report on these important things.
But listen, the thing is, when I see previews for Sons of Anarchy, it looks like the white trash Sopranos.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
And I'm like, why don't I just watch The Sopranos?
And you know what? Just like Sopranos, after a couple years, now you're inventing storylines.
Is it what it is?
It's Year 4 was when they went to Ireland. It was like, what are you doing here? The appeal of it is
why
that you're
would they
a normal
go to Ireland?
Biker. somebody's baby got taken
that
to Ireland.
There's
ties to the Irish IRA. They run arms for the IRA. They sell arms to the IRA. So they're linked with them in some way.
And it's based in Sacramento?
Yeah, all over California.
Yeah, I see that there. I'm like, I don't really care. Like, what's funny is Joe Bartnick. You know Joe Bartnick.
I know Joe Bartnick.
He said he loves that fucking show.
What?
He loves that show.
Yeah, it's great.
Right? And he goes, except for this one episode where Peggy.
Uh-huh, Peg Bundy. Yeah.
Gets raped.
Yeah,
he goes, it was so brutal.
It's
like,
a tough
one. And I was like, on television?
Yeah, bro.
Like, I was like.
FX is doing shit that nobody's doing.
Is it crazy? Then I was like, I gotta see it.
I used to have a joke about it that when rape scenes come on TVs or movies,
uh-huh.
I'm like almost everybody else. It makes you very uncomfortable. And you're like, come on, I don't wanna watch this. But at the same time, I'm like, why am I jerking off suddenly?
Like, it's weirdly arousing.
Yeah.
Because you feel like it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's not real. The only uncomfortable rape scenes in movie.
Yeah.
Was Irreversible.
The one in the subway?
Too long.
Yeah, it was very long.
It's just too goddamn long.
And I'm like, wait, are you not in yet? I thought you were already in.
And then he's doing coke in the middle of it. It's like, oh, he's never going to come. This is going to last forever.
No closure at all.
Yeah. And then they're going to start drinking. This is going to be ridiculous. But yeah, I'm curious because it's a television rape scene.
Yeah.
How do they even do it? Like, it seems so brutal for television.
They tied her to a chain link fence.
Shut the fuck
and
up.
And one after another, guys with masks came in.
You're lying.
Dude, FX is doing shit that nobody's doing.
I don't think I want to see it.
Starting with The Shield, I don't know if they had anything that.
The Shield was good.
That high level before The Shield.
Where yeah.
It was like, oh my God, the guy's cursing. He's like, you don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Yeah. Isn't the pilot, he kills a cop?
Yeah.
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 It's great. I know, you know, I will question one show on FX, Willard.
You don't like it?
I saw one episode. It just didn't seem.
It's a weird one. It's a weird show.
Well, I like weird, but it didn't seem as good as the other ones.
The only thing I liked, I saw one episode and not even a whole episode. Uh-huh. I only watch them in TV, in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
But that's when I watch all my cable shows. I don't have cable here. It's too much of a distraction.
So how long have you been doing the road now?
Heavily this year.
Yeah. Have you noticed that you'll watch tons of Law & Order?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've never seen one at home.
Law & Order is the reason I got rid of cable.
Oh, because so you actually watch it at home.
From noon to 4 p.m., I would watch episodes of Law & Order that I've seen anywhere between 3 times before and 6 times before, and I just watch and just waste those 4 hours.
So you actually watch it at home?
No, when I had cable.
This is what I mean. I've never watched it in my house.
Oh, yeah.
I've only watched it in hotel and Las Vegas. That show Las Vegas? Only in hotels. Only in hotels.
Law & Order is, well, it's TNT. And it's like, who watches TNT?
But hotels
only have like 20 stations. And 4 of them are like C-SPAN and CNN. Shit you just can't watch.
Yes, yes. And then the menu guide.
The menu guide, yeah.
And then there's always a local
thing.
The menu guide.
Then there's the order of this movie. And you're like, fuck you.
God, I love hotels.
You do, really?
I love hotels. Like,
what kind of hotels do you like?
Nice ones.
My favorites are either nice ones or like Residence Inns.
Those are big. The Hyatts are good.
But I like, if you give me a fridge and a microwave, like, cool, I'm going to be here for 4 or 5 days. Maids never coming in.
Oh, see, I never buy food.
Yeah.
Which, I'm an idiot. I would save a ton of money.
Not just that, but it's like a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, privacy. They never clean my room.
Yeah, I don't want them to.
Clean towels.
Some people say, ew, that's gross. I'm like, what gross? How often do you change your sheets?
That's what I mean.
6 times a week?
It's because you're in a hotel because you think in your head that you should get changed.
It's okay. If my sheets could take it all the way off completely, or if I fuck someone on their period on my sheets, then it's like, you can come on in. But normally, I'm like, I got a lot of pot around. I don't need you fucking snooping around.
You are kind of a new road dog now.
Yeah. Well, I've opened before for Rogan a lot.
But that's a whole different experience. This is different, though. Yeah. Going on the road with Rogan is like being on tour.
Yeah, it is.
That's a different thing.
The rooms that Rogan would get. Because he's like, I want him at my hotel room, too, because I want to find him later when we go to lunch.
That's different. Now
I'm staying at the Residence Inn.
Yeah.
And that's like a
And you're doing
up.
It yourself. Like, how is... You're not married anymore.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so how is the road pussy now compared to Rogan's?
Rogan... When I was with Rogan, the road pussy... And now it's there's not a direct link between causality and I forget what the word is.
No, I know what you're trying.
It's causation and.
No. Isn't effect causality and effect? I saw this in a movie. Yeah,
anyway,
I know
people
want to
say, like, let's say I almost died in a car accident. Yeah. I'm doing stand-up for 6-7 years. I almost died in a car accident. I was in the hospital for only 2 weeks, but I flipped and managed to survive, whatever. About 6 months, a year later, somebody sees me after the super traumatic. Let's say I was in the hospital for a month and a half. It's traumatic.
Okay.
Somebody sees me like, dude, you got better at stand-up. I think it's because of this moment where you got this almost-death experience. And you want to be like, yeah, that helped a little. But I've also been doing comedy for 8 years.
Yeah, but that's...
That has something to do with it, too.
No, but it's...
I found love. Or I broke up.
No,
like,
but
all these things go
something
into
switches.
It. Yeah, sometimes.
It does. It's because Doug Benson is a great example. I saw him, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, right before he just blew up.
Yeah.
And he was doing the
right
same jokes.
Super high mate, yeah.
Same jokes, and it just seemed better. Mm. Like, it was unbelievable.
It's confidence.
I don't know what it was. It was the same jokes, but I was like, damn,
when
Doug
I got
is just
made,
killing it.
When I got made at the Comedy Store, a non-paid regular,
yeah,
which they don't really have those anymore,
okay.
But what they had was like a halfway point. At least you're in the minor leagues. You're a professional, but you're in the minor leagues. They would give you belly room spots.
Yeah.
7-minute belly room spots, 2 or 3 a week, and you can go up on Sundays and Mondays without being an employee.
I think I am in there.
That's where you would be now at the store.
Yes.
And you would be one of those guys like, really? You're still only a non-paid regular?
Yes.
But that's where, in terms of how much they know you there, that's where you would be.
Yes, exactly.
And it was great. It was like, oh, real spots in the belly room? Good spots?
And you live right here.
I didn't then, but yeah.
Okay.
But I remember going to open mics after that because we could only go up Tuesdays. I think Tuesdays and Fridays, and there's one other show in the belly room. That was it. So we couldn't go up every night there.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a possibility. So you still go to open mics, you know, in the beginning. And then I remember, like, after I got made a non-paid regular, killing at those shitty open mics. Just because I felt, I'm a paid regular at the world-famous Comedy Store or non-paid regular. Like,
no,
I'm good.
Yes, it is a confidence thing. Comedy Store is such a weird club.
It's a weird club.
Everyone hates it but loves it.
Everyone hates it who hasn't gotten into it.
Is that what it is?
There used to be this open alternative open mic, the Westwood Brew Co., that Vance Sanders runs, and it's still going.
Yes.
It's the longest running open mic, I think.
Really? It's awful.
It's semi-awful, but it's also at least – it was the one room that really cared about witty writing. Like good, smart writing.
Yeah, but it was always – it's every time I've done
it.
Big
click.
It's always hot in that room.
Oh, the room itself,
Oh, it's hot, and then you're combating with karaoke like 50 feet away in the other room. I'm just like, what?
Those nights made it worse.
And I live in Los Feliz, so going to Santa Monica, I literally should be just driving to Bakersfield.
You have to get there 5 minutes to 8. Sometimes you have to wait till fucking 10:30
before
you get on.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
dealing with it was bad, but the actual show was good. And sometimes we'd have people like Zach stop by and do shows. But right before he got like big. Jeannie Garofalo, I remember doing a set there.
Oh, wow. This is before me.
This was 12 years ago.
Oh, so this is when it was like hot. Like not temperature hot. It was like cool.
Yeah, that was and that's when UCB, before the Comedy Bang Bang show, before that started, it was called Comedy Death Ray. Before it was at UCB, it was at M-Bar.
Okay.
And it was the hottest show of the week.
Wow.
In any town. When Silverman did it, there was no place to even go stand in there.
Jesus.
But they would farm people from that Westwood Brew Co. show. Like BJ Novak came. Right when he came, he was like doing really well at the open mic. And they would come in and they were like, oh, who's this new guy who's doing so well at the open mic? And they took him to fucking the M-Bar. And then Punks was like, who's this new guy at the M-Bar show? And they fucking grabbed him.
Oh,
and it was
Jesus.
Just perfect timing for a funny guy.
Wow, it's interesting. I guess that's why we live down here.
Yeah, but I was already like, oh, yeah, Ari, he's fine. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, but that's why we live down here.
Isn't that the worst, though?
Yeah.
Like, because you've been doing it so long, but they don't realize that you are funnier. You know what I mean?
Well, at the time, he was just more of a beginner than I was, but like I was doing it like three years ago.
No, not funnier than BJ. Like, you just because they've seen you 3 years ago doesn't mean you're not better.
Oh, I've gotten funnier, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It drives you nuts. It might be the same style, but you are funnier
by
time.
People always rate you based on when they saw you a few years ago. I feel bad because I'm like, I'm judging people when they're 1 year into comedy and now they're 6 years in. That's such a humongous difference.
But even 6 years isn't that long.
I know, but it's way different than 1 year. You're always comfortable on stage.
There's only like a couple of people who are good at like in 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys, they're called Eddie Murphy.
Gerard's like that.
Who?
Gerard Carmichael.
Gerard's
people
hilarious.
Talking about him.
How long has he been doing it?
I think only a couple of years now.
He's funny.
He is.
Because he loves it.
He does love it, too.
He loves it. That helps.
Yeah.
Like, I see it in his face. God, look at us. What happened to us?
I don't know.
So you never answered the question.
What was the question?
What's better, the Rogue Pussy, by yourself or with Joe?
So with Rogan, opening for him, it wasn't very good.
Really?
And here's why. I figured out. One, because I also opened for on my own a little bit. I would feature or MC on my own.
All right.
The way it works on the road, if people aren't listening, is there's pretty much 3 to 4 spots a night.
Okay.
There's the headliner. Oh, you know this. I'm telling the crowd. The headliner is the headliner. That's what everyone's used to. And then there's a guy who goes on before the headliner who's the feature or the middle act. Which I thought feature was always a weird term.
The feature is such a weird spot because if you're doing it and the headline is just okay, people always go, oh, you're so much better than the headliner. Like, you don't understand.
You know, there's a check drop.
Yeah, how hard it is to do that headlining spot after a person who got the easiest spot on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're doing 45, let's say you're doing an even hour. Let's say you're doing 45 is 45. That was the old industry standard.
Yeah.
20 minutes in, people are dropping checks on you.
Oh, it's awful.
Everyone in the crowd is now looking at their checks instead of listening to you.
It's awful.
And you have some feature who's like, I'm doing better than this asshole.
Yeah. And then there's middles.
That's what I mean. There's more than one reason.
Ugh.
There's more than one reason.
And then there's middles who try to blow you out of the water.
Oh, this is why you start talking about causality. Yeah, there's that too. And you're like, look, I know you think you're awesome, but all you did was take your dick out. That's all you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or whatever it is. Like, these jokes are hacky. Whatever it is.
Ugh.
And sometimes they're really good, too.
Yeah, the good ones you don't mind.
Yeah.
It's just the ones, the guys you're like, ugh.
I worked with Chris Tinkle in Sacramento and San Francisco.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a funny guy.
I know Chris because I started with Chris in San Francisco, but I don't think you're going to have a problem following Chris.
Oh, right. No, it wasn't.
No offense to Chris.
Yeah. But also, there's certain times of it's just a question of like style.
You guys are different.
It's just certain styles go. I don't even know what they are exactly, but I know I follow certain people a lot better than I follow other people.
Yeah.
Like when John Caponera was killing at his best, when he was killing, for some reason, killing, I never had a problem following it.
Interesting.
But like when Black Leslie is killing, it's just real hard for me. She's just, I don't know. It just goes, it takes away this one, I don't know.
Well, you guys are both
it's similar in a certain,
loud.
Yeah.
But not the same.
And she's so abrasive that my semi-abrasive is like nothing compared to it.
Wait, wait a second. What room are you doing that you're following Black Leslie?
The original room.
Oh, the OR.
The toughest proven grounds in Los Angeles.
Okay. I didn't realize that she was a comedy store.
Yeah.
Comic.
That's why it's the toughest proven grounds in LA.
Yeah.
Because night after night, if I'm doing 4 spots, I'm going to follow Brett Ernst, who's one of the better comics in the country, Black Leslie, who nobody in the fucking world wants to follow.
Is it like a Lisa Lampanelli thing?
It's like that. Where it's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Dalia. Who's killing with physical comedy.
Because
they don't. Or Rick Ingram, who does all crowd work. And these are the people that make
I think
me
that's
follow,
the hardest.
That might be the hardest. And I don't have a lot of people have problems with Ingram doing crowd work. I'm like, I don't, but it is difficult to follow.
It is impossible because you're like, damn it, now they don't want to hear jokes.
You can't just go up and be like, hey, what do I want to talk about today? You're like, when you follow Dalia or Leslie or Ingram, you got to be like, hey, what are you planning on doing tonight? You better be
so
ready right off
funny.
The gates because you're going to lose these people.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
The room's hard enough as it is.
Yeah. But like Brett Ernst, he can kill, and I just follow him well. The way he tells stories.
Different.
It's just different than my act, and it goes well. It's a good mixture. Not better or worse.
It's very different.
Yeah, but with Rogan, anyway, the crowds that would come out to see him, one, were almost all dudes. Oh, I didn't finish. Hold on. Let me back up. It's headliner, feature, opener, or MC.
Yes.
And maybe sometimes a guest spot. So I would do the guest spots at MCs and features other places.
Okay.
When I was on myself, it was okay. But with Rogan, it was almost all dudes because it's a UFC type of fame.
I didn't realize that. You're right.
Or couples.
Couples, true.
Or because Rogan is, if anyone knows the term alpha male, that's what he is.
Yes.
And girls, whether or not they could, they wanted to fuck him.
So you
and they did not want to fuck me.
So you're just like, oh, there's Rogan, and then there's this gangly Jew.
Yeah, so it was either, do I have a shot with this guy? And when it was like, no, it's like, there wasn't like, well, who would I have a shot with? It's like, oh, well, then I'm just not fucking tonight. And I'm like, what about me? What about, I'm right here. You laughed really hard at my jokes. I'm friends with the guy you want to fuck. How about just fucking me?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
But when I opened for Pauly, it was a lot easier.
Well, it's all chicks.
It's a lot of chicks.
Lots of chicks.
It's a lot of a certain type of chick.
Yeah.
Which is like a 24-year-old.
But then there's like the older chicks.
What?
The older chicks.
There were older chicks too with Polly. But it's also like some of these girls come with a group of girls, and some of them come to fuck Polly.
Oh, weird.
But the difference is between Polly and Rogan is Polly was more, let's just, without casting any dispersions, Polly was more interested in Hollywood than Joe Rogan was. So Polly worked harder on the Hollywood part of his career than Joe Rogan did. And Joe Rogan worked harder on the act part of his career than Polly did.
Okay.
So Joe Rogan is a legitimately one of the best comics in the country.
So he's
you it would be arguably the best. Like, if you say he's my favorite, that wouldn't be, like, wrong.
What's interesting about Joe is, before I came down to L.A.,
yeah,
I didn't know he was a stand-up.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't.
Well, because he's on television so goddamn
as
much.
As a non-stand-up.
Yeah, so you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that when you have been doing this so long, so many guys in television are stand-ups.
Yeah, and you have no idea.
Yeah, Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak, Don Henson.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Kevin Pollak. I was like, what? I was doing it for a long time?
A long time.
Yeah.
It's weird. It trips me out. And there's a lot of guys who start as stand-ups.
Yeah.
And they just stop.
And they just stop.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
You think you'll stop?
I've been putting myself in the position of, like, whenever I say something about myself, I'm like, oh, I'm never going to stop, or I would never do that. I realize, like, well, all these people did stop. So why would I think that I wouldn't have the same result as these people?
And what happens is so much money. Like, if you get a show,
mm-hmm.
first of all, you're paranoid that your show's going to go off air.
Yeah.
So you focus your time
hard
on that.
Yeah.
And then you're getting paid quadruple, like 100 times more than
you. So it's like, literally, I should focus on this for my
exactly.
house.
Exactly. And then you're just like, do I want
to? Well, I know when I started doing spots, it was like, I need to work out any spot I can get, hopefully twice a night, but at least five nights a week, I'm doing a spot somewhere. Hopefully seven, and hopefully it's like 10 or 11 total spots. But then I saw all these people older, like, I don't want to do a spot. I'm like, you're not doing this spot? Are you crazy? And he's like, dude, there's six people in here. And I'm like, you don't have heart for this.
Because they're not getting anything out of
it. Yeah, then I realized, like, they're not getting anything
out of it. They're not getting anything out of it.
I've already developed the stage presence.
Exactly.
That's what you're developing in front of these six people.
Yes.
I've already got that, so I'm not going to do it tonight.
Because it's not going to – it doesn't help, because the material – whether – you could do your A material.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work, and you're like, damn it, I'm good at this,
It just gives you spine. But I've got that. So it's like, what am I doing here? I just want to work out jokes, and I can't
do it. Exactly.
So I was looking at these people like, I'll never be like you.
Now?
And I realize I am.
Now you are. Because how long have you been doing it now?
13 years.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, crazy, right?
So now – and then it's, now you have some success.
Uh-huh.
So your mindset changes.
Uh-huh.
It totally
And then it's
changes.
Also like, hey, I recorded an album, and I want to try to do that Louis Bill Burr thing. I want to try to do a new album in a year.
You know, I was watching this clip this morning where Louis had this whole interview. I guess it was a George Carlin tribute, and he explained his whole process.
Yeah, I read that one. Saw that one.
It's kind of unbelievable.
Well, Burr broke it down. Man, we have to remember to backtrack and finish off what we were everything we were talking about.
We seem to be going in one big circle.
Yeah, I heard Pete Holmes writes this shit down as he's going. Yeah, we do seem to be going kinda, around the same points. Well, okay, let's get
I'll
back.
Let
let's
you edit
your
it.
Thing. Okay, yeah. I don't edit them. I just fucking either.
Oh, you don't edit them?
No.
I started listening to the beginning of you and Ingram's.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had diabetes.
Now you know. Now you know.
Yeah.
This all happened like a year ago, 2 years ago.
That's
sad. He got childhood diabetes when he was 20-something.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It sucks. That's exactly what it is.
Sucks.
It's just like, fuck, that sucks. You
it's
don't want childhood diabetes.
Like, it is so hard when you're older to adjust.
To your lifestyle.
Yes.
Anything.
You're like, Jesus Christ.
I heard something that once you're 35, you can't accept any new innovation in the world.
Well, my
which
dad.
Which is why my dad and your dad have trouble with the internet.
Well, my dad died, but before he died, he was shot. He was shot in the hand and he lost his thumb.
Really?
He said the hardest thing, I don't know if he was fucking with me or not, he said the hardest thing about using his left hand was wiping his ass. He said it was such an awkward feeling for him to do
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I know I've had to do that sometimes when I've been...
But you rarely ever do it.
You rarely ever. I've had to do it like with a hurt arm only. And only for like a day or two.
Exactly, and it's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird process.
Yeah.
It's like jerking off with your left hand for the first time.
Yeah. Dice used to have a joke about that where he'd like lean on his left hand for like a while until it would go dead.
Yeah, it's
and
called...
And then he tried jerking it.
It's called like the ghost jerk or something.
Really?
The silent partner.
So here's what I say about Rogan. Okay. And Paul, Rogan's act was fucking top shelf.
Yes.
So when they left that show, they were more enamored. The girls who were willing to fuck were more enamored than they were before with Rogan.
Because they're so impressed with
Yeah, and he was always
stage.
Like, nah, I'm just going to go back to the I'm just going to get something to eat and go back to my hotel. And I'm like,
it's
I'm
really
not interested.
Funny.
Yeah. But like, they were into it, so they were not into me. With Pauly, a lot of times, it was like, I came here to fuck. I wanted to fuck Pauly. God, he was not good.
Aren't you friends with Pauly?
Who else? Hey, you were really funny.
They'll take you.
Yeah.
That is so
And that
funny.
Worked out a couple times, okay.
Well, good for you. But now, since you're headlining, is it better? You feel more pressure. You don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't worry about it. I get late in town sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just don't try that hard. You really have to put it out there for me.
What happens is when there's comics who live for it.
It's comics who live for it.
Still.
They go out their whole night.
Oh,
and I'm
no,
like,
I can't do it.
I'm just going to go smoke some pot.
When I first started, I would take every shitty road gig, one-nighters. I would do everything because it was fun to get mm-hmm. late. Now I'm just
fun
like,
to get late.
This
yeah.
is work. I want to do well. I want to get better. This is my job. I don't want
right.
to worry. I don't want to worry about fucking road horse.
Well, I saw people early on, especially at Dublin's when that was the big room.
Yeah.
It was like the hottest room in L.A. for a while,
I missed
too.
That. I hear it was hot.
And that was a mainstream room.
That's, okay.
That, I'm convinced, is where Dane Cook's star rose the most.
Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Everyone says that.
He was the best comic at the best show in L.A. At the hottest show in L.A. And he got to go up whenever he wanted. So every other week he was there closing
so
out.
So just made
killing.
Killing.
It was like, it was like a mini festival every time. It was a mini Montreal. You would get business cards from agents and managers every time he got off. Every time. Kareem said the best. Like when he would do well, he wouldn't go up there for 6-8 weeks, but he kept going back because he'd get laid off it. They were like, oh, I remember you from 2 weeks ago. Because if he did bad, he wanted to go up immediately, as soon as possible again to change
That's
that.
So funny.
It was the hottest room. And Dane Cook, when every other week, closed it almost every time.
Why did it shut down?
I think Dublin's closed.
Oh, just closed.
Yeah, now it's a whole set. It's been two other things since then.
What's so funny is I wasn't license. Here for that, but yeah. Jay
Davis ran it. Jay Davis and I met.
He's trying to duplicate it still.
He tried a few
you
times.
You can't.
It was a magical time.
You can't. And I missed it. I heard like Chappelle
used
to
Tuesday
go.
It was Tuesday night. Everybody used to go.
Nuts.
Everybody used to go. And when you got your shot, it was so popular. They had a pre-show for like good comics that aren't doing anything, but they had to test them out. They would go like an hour early show.
An hour early show.
Yeah. And the bar, it was a two-floor bar. So okay. They could say, like, hey, guys, if you want to talk, go downstairs.
Jesus.
And so it wasn't like you had to leave or anything. You could still party, just not up there.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it worked. People, it was just unbelievable.
It sounds like the way you're describing, like, back in the 80s when comedy was
Yes,
hot.
It was like that.
Remember
it was like
the
80s comedy,
day?
Only on Tuesday nights at Dublin's on Sunset.
It was 80s comedy on Tuesday night. I missed that. Mm-hmm. I missed that whole scene. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I know nothing about it.
And Dane was I wouldn't say the best. I don't like he's one of the best.
Yeah.
But he was the hottest one there. He was the guy who was the king of that room.
Did you hate him when he was the king?
Nope. The hatred just started for him then.
Okay.
Around then.
I feel like the hatred has gone down with Dane.
It's gone down.
Because he's such a celebrity now.
I think there's two reasons.
What's the second one? I think let me see the first one.
Joke stealing he does. He says he doesn't do any, but I think there was enough reports of people saying whatever. That I think there was some. But regardless of that,
exactly.
I don't think you should ever punish anyone forever for any crime. You know? So it's like, I don't think he does it anymore at all.
Well,
because I've never heard anybody say anything about it for the last 5-6 years.
Well, he just, I think he's just so big, who cares?
Yeah.
And which is interesting, someone had told me that he had taken a year off.
Yeah, it took a year off comedy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No one even noticed. Does that make sense? Like
I noticed.
His name, you noticed?
I noticed.
Okay.
Only because I talked to him a couple times.
Oh.
And then I was super intrigued. I was like, really? You're taking a year off? I asked.
Did he tell you why?
A little bit. Before I recorded my CD, uh-huh. I finally realized, like, don't be proud. Don't act like you're better than everybody.
Yeah.
I was like, you have at your disposal. You have people that are at the top of their game in this industry.
Yeah.
That have done things. And I was worrying about like my physical bits. I'm okay. Like, I wonder how this will come out on audio. And then I realized here's a guy who was one of, if not, well, definitely the biggest physical comic of all time.
Yes.
But, let's just say that. He's the biggest physical comic of all
time.
He's
got to be.
Yeah.
Maybe
and I'm like,
next to Steve
and
Martin.
And he's recorded a bunch of albums.
Yeah.
A bunch of audio albums. So I emailed him and I was like, hey, how did you...
You actually emailed him?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
I've never had a problem with him.
Yeah.
And in those Dublin days, and people like starting to hate him, like, dude, this guy's killing. Well, if you're saying he's not funny, you need to go to Dublin's.
No, people hate on people who are successful. You know that.
There's a lot of that, too.
Of course.
But I emailed him and I said, what do you do for your physical? Like, how do you? And he goes, well, after my first album, I realized I just did it wrong.
Like, that's really
you can't
funny.
Have a 6-minute act out of you like fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex on audio. It doesn't read. So he goes, from then on, I stopped writing bits that were like you that you couldn't understand at all.
That's really funny.
Yeah, and he said something along the lines of like, it was just such a like a well-written thing. Like he was such clearly a comic the way he wrote it. It was like, maybe I'll find this exactly so I can help other people too. This is a very comedy-centric
podcast. Yeah, do you
so
usually
far.
Talk about comedy this
sometimes
much?
We get involved in it. My feeling is if you're passionate about something, you talk passionately and funny about anything, people will get into it.
No, what's interesting is my immediate thought when you were like, oh, let's do the podcast, I was like, oh, this is going to be filthy. Like, and you call it the septic tank.
Skeptic tank.
Skeptic. Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm not from this country.
It's okay. It's because skeptic I like – it's because of two things. It's because I like – shit.
Shit.
And shit stories and shit things like that.
Loves
I like dirty
everyone
I like dirty
that.
Stuff. Filthy stuff. And I also the point is to like rethink just to figure out things about
this is interesting. I haven't had a
life.
Comedy conversation in so long.
Really?
I usually do not talk about comedy.
Well, we're already starting and it was nice and it was funny.
Yeah.
Bill Burr in that show I was like, fuck, I start recording.
Now we're interested. What's interesting is what always drives me nuts on the road is after shows people come to me and they go, you're really funny. But I really fucking hate Dane Cook. I'm like, I don't care. Why are you – why don't you just come up to me and say I'm funny?
Oh, yeah. It's like I don't care. That's the main thing. I don't care.
Yeah. It's just like, are you going to buy a t-shirt or what? Come on. Hurry up. I don't have time for this.
That's really funny.
That's so – I can't believe Dane replied to you. That's really funny.
Okay. This is what it was. I started using – this is just – like I started – did you take – were you an English major?
No.
Okay. As an English major, they teach you how to analyze novels.
That oh,
there
really?
There's certain words and certain ways you can analyze it. The same way an artist or art, like history people, know the proper terms to talk about art history.
Why would you think I'm an English major?
I think a lot of comics should be. I don't know. It's a way to...
Really?
Yeah. It just
most
seems
right. Comics are probably business.
Because I am. Because I'm an English major.
Oh, you're...
Everyone else is exactly like okay. me. That's a lot of it. Because I just don't think anything
else.
There
you go. You're a narcissist. There we go.
I dropped straight out physical bits that from that day forward. He said no more dinosaur impersonations except for at home.
He actually specifically said that.
Uh-huh.
That's
which
really
I liked.
Funny.
And I said I started using language that would support the framework of the story and marry the movement to the theme.
That's an English major.
And I'm like, dude, this is what I wrote back. This is during his year off. And I was like, okay, I don't know why you're taking the year off exactly or what the reason is. I'm sure you're an adult and you can figure this out for yourself. But just so you know, the only people who talk that way about comedy are comics.
Yes.
I'm like, you're a comedian.
Those are guys who
don't
are
quit.
Really
you're,
passionate.
Yeah. You're someone who's developed a professional act, and you're one of very few people who have done that.
I'm very different in regards to that fact. Like, I don't talk about comedy this much, to be honest with you.
Really?
And,
how long have you been doing comedy?
It'll be 11 years.
I think you'll start doing it more.
It's interesting because I
you
ran
start
into
saying techniques more. Who?
Jimmy Dore and Daniel Kino, they were opening up for Louis C.K. Monday.
Yeah.
And I was at the lab. And Jimmy Dore came. I love Jimmy Dore. I know him.
Jimmy Dore's amazing.
Yeah, I know him for years, like when I first started out.
I stole a joke from him by accident once.
Shut
ahead.
The fuck
go
up.
Ahead, I'll
and then
it
I want to hear. Because
okay.
Jimmy Dore doesn't have that great jokes. But so Daniel came out, and Jimmy's like, well, I switched it up. I changed up to really grab him, and then I went into it.
Kino said that?
No, Jimmy.
Okay.
And I go, wow, I have not talked about joke structure.
Yeah.
In so long.
It changes the way you think about stuff, and it'll
change
your...
It is interesting because, you know, as you develop, you stop telling jokes and you start telling stories, and then it gets easier because anything you say will eventually come out funny.
But, yeah, because you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Even if you can't name the technique you're using,
you
still know
you, just do it.
You do it.
Yeah, that is
Hitchcock
interesting.
Had a lot of those where he goes, I don't know why I'm using an upright into the left shot, but somehow in his brain, this always represents a character moving into a point of no return.
Oh.
But he might not have thought this is why. It just feels
it just
right,
feels
and he always
right.
did it.
Yeah, it's just one of those. Sometimes my best material comes out on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you do know how to analyze this, you can get deeper. Just like a story. Okay, here's my problem with stories for the most part.
Okay.
Most of the time when they come out, they're lacking a solid ending. The same way a Saturday Night Live sketch lacks.
Yes, you're right.
Knowing that makes me able to understand, like, okay, well, then I got to put an ending in.
Well, most stories are great.
Yeah.
And then you reach that climax, mm-hmm. but then there still needs an ending after the climax.
Boom, top it all off.
There needs something, and that's the only thing I have to sit and think about.
There's a Marc Maron story on my YouTube account.
Okay.
I think it's Ari the Great, about him doing some psychedelic drug. I forget which one.
Okay.
It was my first storyteller show, and it's on there. And the way he ends on that is just like, that's an ending.
It's amazing.
It's boom. It's done. We know it's over.
He's very good.
He's very good. Kreischer had the same stuff with certain stories.
Yes. Very articulate. I would have liked to hang out with Mark on his drug days.
Oh, yeah. Would have been interesting.
Aren't you curious?
I'm curious, but I think he would have been
mean.
Horrible person to be around.
Really?
I think he would have been a horrible person to be around.
Do you think it's only horrible addicts that have to quit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Functioning people are like,
no,
cool.
It's just like, yeah, it's cool. You do it. It's fun.
And then you don't do it anymore.
Yeah, you don't do it anymore. Yeah. Like when you feel like you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, people are like, you're doing a lot of coke. Like, yeah, it's great. Coke's great. But like, it doesn't – like, I'm getting shit done, so who cares?
It's really funny.
It's only the bad people to be around. Is that door open? Oh, there's no breeze. That's why.
What's the Jimmy Dore joke that you stole?
It's right in front of him, too. I didn't even know.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, we were
was
doing –
was this subconsciously?
Absolutely subconsciously.
Oh, isn't that
– no idea. Somebody had to tell me afterwards. I was like,
he didn't
what?
Even come up to you.
He didn't come up to me.
Well, I want to know the joke.
The joke is about anal sex.
Oh, wow. No one has those.
And he said he was fucking someone on the beach. I think he said he was fucking someone on the beach. And he was saying how he was having sex in their vagina or something like that. Some girl, I don't know what the setup exactly, okay. But some girl's about anal sex and vagina. He goes, he's having sex in somebody's vagina. And he goes, this feels good. He goes, it's almost like it was made for this.
It's funny.
And I think he was moderating a show called Joke Machine.
Okay.
Where it was like a moderator. Hardwick was helping run it.
Okay.
And it was three comics fighting against each other in this game show. One would get eliminated. Another – you would have like to come up with these jokes. You have a week to write, I think, seven topics. You have to write a joke on each of these. And then they give you topics on the fly. It's a game show.
Yeah.
It's a live game show. And one of them was about something, and I think I said that thing. I was like, oh, I'm in your vagina. It's like it was made for this. And I just didn't know.
It's just subconsciously.
Yeah, it
came
got in
out.
There. And then somebody told me later, I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, oh, he was moderating. Oh, Jesus.
That's awful. But how long were you doing it?
God, now I'm embarrassed about it again. A few years.
You know
maybe
what happens,
years.
Though? Even guys who've been doing it for so long, subconsciously – their premise is similar to other people.
God.
It happens all the time.
And I was like, no, maybe I just thought of it on my own. I'm like, no, it's way too exact.
What
fuck.
Did Jimmy, what did you? Did
never
you,
said a word.
Never said a word.
Never said a word. Yeah. And somebody told me I never did
Jimmy
it again.
Jimmy was probably high and didn't even hear.
He heard.
Did he hear?
I was doing it. He was 6 feet behind me watching me tell my joke. Like he couldn't even go get a drink or something. Like there was no chance he wasn't in the room. He was right there. Like I was trying to impress Jimmy Dore. He was one of the people I was trying to impress
so
with that joke.
That's so funny. Oh, that's so weird. I did mushrooms with Jimmy Dore.
Really?
In Amsterdam.
That's cool.
I have never done mushrooms ever before. Yeah. Where are you going?
I'm going to open this door.
Oh, are you hot? All right. I will say this is the only podcast I've ever done where you don't even give a shit about background noise.
Nope,
don't care. You got the little Mexican skateboarder kids.
Yeah, I might open the door
swimming.
And get a crossbreeze for a little bit.
And then you got your back door open.
Dude, these mics are pretty fucking good.
So man, they don't pick up anything?
They pick it up like it registers that it's happening.
But it's very little.
Yeah, like you know when you're at a club scene in a movie? This is one thing I always hate about movies. And the guys and girls, they're talking and they're like kissing. And they're like, listen, I've always loved you. And I want you to know that. And they're like, oh my God, really? And I'm like, what fucking club is this?
What movie?
Because when I'm at a club, I'm always like, hey, it's awesome song! And you're like, what? Like, this song! It's good! As I'm in your ear.
What movie are you watching where there's a love scene in a club?
That movie with the three chicks in San Francisco. They had one there. The girl from Hellboy. The chick from Married with Children.
Shut up.
And one other chick.
Yes.
And Cameron Diaz.
Ah!
They had a couple scenes in clubs.
All right.
And bars.
God, God, you watch a lot of movies.
But everyone here is fine, but it still registers as, that's such a fucking stupid shit in movies. Go outside. Because then all we do is, we think, oh, if we go to clubs, we can talk to girls and be like normal and hit up. It doesn't work though. It's awful. That's the expectation. We can never do it.
I'm the worst at clubs. I'm the worst. I figure if I just get drunk and rub against them.
That'll work?
That'll work. I'm little. I'm little. They're like, oh, he's so cute. I might take him home.
Do you get laid on the road ever?
I used to really be on it. Like, I used to, that was the goal.
That was your goal.
That was the goal. Not anymore. Like,
oh, that was another thing with Rogan, too.
Yeah.
Is it, afterwards, he'd be like, hey, let's just go eat. No, fuck, let's just go eat. And I'd be like, fuck, I need the free meal. You know what I mean?
Like, does he have a girl? Is he married?
Yeah, he's good now.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Before, this is 8 years ago, I had an ex-girlfriend that was dating at the time, and I hated her. Yeah. It was my pleasure to cheat on her. It was like my hobby.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. Now I got a girl. I've been with the same girl for 5 years.
And so now what do you do?
What's funny is when we first started dating, it was an open relationship because she lives in San Francisco. I live here. And what's interesting is the more cool she was about it, I just didn't give a fuck.
The more cool she was about it?
The more she wasn't jealous. So I didn't want to do it. I was like, oh, I got this great girl. Why do I want this road trash?
Wow.
It's weird. I don't know. It was such a reverse thing because my ex-girlfriend was such a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't wait to cheat on her.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back to this.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about this as a subject. This happens sometimes where I'm like, so it's called Skeptic Tank because I you know what skepticism is. Just rethinking things. Just asking why or trying to understand.
Yes.
So sometimes I like I interviewed Christina Pazitsky.
And yes.
You know Christina.
Tom
Segura's wife. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have the biggest crush on her.
Really?
When she was on TV.
When she was on The Real World.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was going to talk about reality shows.
Yes.
One, she loves watching them, and two, she's been on them.
Yes, she
so
has
like,
been
what's
on them.
You saw both sides. We started talking. We started got in depression, and we're like, let's just keep talking about that. We'll get back to reality shows another time. And we talked about that for 2 hours.
Depression.
Yeah. So let's talk about this open. Okay, hold on. So I'm going to want to talk to you about the open relationship for a second.
Great.
But I'm going to pause and come back to it. And I want to do something to pass the time. Do you know any fucking Chinese songs, Chinese ritual songs?
Dude, I'm Korean.
Yeah.
And I'm adopted, so I know nothing.
Okay.
I don't know why. Do you know any?
No. I'm just joking, first of all. I know you're like, not Chinese, and I know you're adopted. That's why I called you in here to talk about. All right. Tune in more. All right, I don't know how to go out on some of these and come back to a new.
Well, why do you even go out?
When I know it's a full split of a topic, I'm like, I want to separate these as topics.
Why don't you just say we're going to take a break?
Okay, we're going to take a break.
And listen
we'll
to this ad.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Exactly.
With something else. Or this will be on.
Oh, you actually use it as a separate day?
With Morrissey, we talked about three really separate things. And I'm like, I can separate these evenly.
Wait, Morrissey?
Paul Morrissey.
Comic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Morrissey.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Really?
So then I can separate them easier because all I want is to really flesh out a topic.
Okay, you can edit it all out. Why don't you just edit some good ones?
All right, that's what I'll do. We'll be right back. Or let's just say goodbye for now.
Yeah, goodbye for now, which you don't even have to put this in.
No, I'm putting all this in. It's 45 minutes of good fun talk.
Really? 45?
Yeah. Up till right now will just be comedy talk.
Do people really listen to the whole thing?
Yes, but if they're so long, some people don't.
That's what I'm saying.
So I want to split them up. If they're able, but I split up the last one, and it like shouldn't have been split up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could probably edit this to one. I feel like I'm not that interesting for two.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not down to that. Your level of interest, you're just shit on yourself. It has nothing to do with that. You're very interesting.
Thank you.
You just don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah, because you're a comedian. You're a stand-up comedian.
Yes, yes. Like, aren't we all?
You know how to talk well. We are all, but the world is not.
I wanted to ask you. I just shot this web series.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it, and we were watching the edited version and the final cut.
Yeah.
Do I sound drunk? I feel on this thing. I just sound so drunk. I'm like, this is what I sound like.
You seem drunk a lot to me.
Thank you. I slur a lot.
You slur a lot. But you're drunk. At the improv, you slur because you're drunk.
Yeah, that's the improv, and it's after shows.
I thought of doing this with you at a club.
Oh, no,
you
don't.
And I'm like, I wonder if he'd be more fun when he's drunk or not even usable.
Not usable.
Not usable.
Because I'd be all over the place.
Okay.
And I'd probably be screaming at you. I'm like, nah. Like, I remember last time.
Yeah, you get combative for no reason.
Remember last time you asked me if I wanted to do this? I don't even remember saying this. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And you go, being adopted.
Being adopted.
I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, nah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm like, oh, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, you asked me, when was it, 2 days ago?
Yeah, I was sober.
You were like, hey, all right, can I do your podcast? And I was like, I asked you, and you said, absolutely not. What? No, I didn't. I was like, it was right there. It was right over there. I'm remembering it now. At the bar at the Improv.
I'm like, why would I turn that down?
You were asking about this is not happening. You were asking about the Storyteller show.
That's
this is
really
not happening
funny.
Show. And you're like, no, fuck podcast. No, fuck you. No, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do your Storyteller. I'm like, I'll have you on that too. But you don't want to do the podcast? You're like, no.
That's so funny. That sounds like a dick thing.
This door.
Okay, so
yeah, you can keep that. When I get up, you can keep.
Yeah, I'm like
talking.
It's weird that you're just getting up.
I gave you the long mic. I should have taken the long mic myself.
That's what I'm saying. You had a little mic, and I'm just like, where are you going? Okay, so we'll transition.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for tuning in, Kevin. What's your? Okay, let's do what we'll do. What's your?
Your
Twitter?
This is the worst.
I know. It's not the worst. It's fun.
Will you edit it?
Fuck no.
Oh my god,
I'm
this
just
is the
separating
worst.
This.
All right, KevinShea.tv.
That's your email address?
That's my website, that's and website. My Twitter is Kevin Shea Comedy.
Okay. You have bad ones.
What's wrong with KevinShea.tv? That's my website.
What do you think is wrong with it?
I don't know. I think it's great.
If you had to pick out one part of that, what do you think is the problem with KevinShea.tv as your website?
Do you not like .tv?
There you go.
Someone has .com.
What?
Someone has .com.
Okay, well, that's not as good.
.tv's better.
.tv's better?
I'm committing to it.
Better?
Yes. Yes. Why? Because
a lot of people don't even know .tv is a thing.
Do you know what .tv stands for?
What?
Do you know what .tv stands for?
No.
It's so ridiculous, it's the truth.
What is it?
Transylvania.
Oh, it's in Transylvania?
It's the country.
Oh, that's why.
.tv.
Oh, wow.
And now, when I first registered, it used to be the cheapest because no one wanted it. Now more people want it because so many people on the internet. So .tv is cool. Now it's twice as much. It's more expensive than .com.
The problem is people are like, oh, KevinShea.tv. And then they go in, they go, KevinShea.com. And
well,
then they don't.
Kevin Shea, you type in Google, I'm the first one. And then
that's good.
Some fucking emo drummer's number two.
So at that point, it doesn't matter what it's called. It could be like Bob647.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So go
anyway,
to my
Kevin
shit.
Shea. That's, Kevin is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N.
Shea is an S-H-E-A.
S-H-E-A.
Not like the, there's no
not
Asian
Shea Stadium.
One. Yeah, like Shea Stadium.
Oh, it is like Shea Stadium. Yeah,
it is
right.
Exactly. If you guys are old enough for that,
Shea Stadium's not around anymore, huh?
No,
they don't call
done.
It that.
It's done.
What do they call it?
Something lame.
Some corporate name.
Yeah, some corporate name, but or like for you chicks, if there are chicks who listen to this, Shea Butter.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Or you gays.
Yeah.
Do you say? Let me ask you before we go. Is dyke a bad word?
Yeah. What do you mean? Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I mean, I'll describe a girl. I mean, that's like sometimes I'm trying to for a story. I'm like, it's a bull dyke. It's
yes,
like, that's a.
But what if you say
butch
dyke-y?
Lesbian? It's like faggy or niggerish.
Ooh, on that level.
I mean, it doesn't have the same bite because it's different history.
Yeah,
but it is the same word in terms of like what it means.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, dyke-y is.
I'll tell you exactly why I said it on the next segment.
Well, okay. Why?
Well, I'm doing this show. I did this web series we shot. It's called Coffee or Alcohol.
Uh-huh.
So it literally is me and another comic, Joel Tobin, completely opposite of me, but grew up in the same area, outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah, you just sound a little drunk, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's weird. And it's about, we just talk about hypothetical situations. So one of the examples is, which would you want, a gay son or a lesbian daughter?
Right.
And I'm asking you.
Lesbian daughter.
Really? See, that's what he said. I'm saying gay son.
Why?
Because this is my description exactly. And people laugh and they kind of cringe. I didn't know why. I go, lesbian daughters, lesbians always seem dykey to me. And dykes seem mean. And I don't want a mean daughter.
Right.
Yeah. And I am kind of a misogynist. I want my daughter to be feminine.
Yeah.
Yes. And my gay son, he's got more opportunity.
Most... Like, I don't know what percentage. Let's just call it 75% of lesbians.
Okay.
This is just me. This is not an exact science.
What about 75% of Americans?
75% of American lesbians, I will say.
Okay.
Seem like normal women. do not seem dykey at all.
How many lesbians do you have?
Do I have?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
A ton. Oh. In college, I used to hang out with the LGBA. And now it's called the LGBTA, to show you how long ago that we didn't even recognize transgender.
Wait a second.
The lesbians, gays, and bisexuals like, transgender.
Do you really have that many lesbian friends?
I have a lot.
Name one that I would know.
That you would know?
Yeah. See? Exactly.
I'm trying to think who you would know.
Okay. Name one that you're close to. I might know.
What's her name?
See?
That you would know. There's a comedian.
Okay. You can't even name her.
Kathleen Madigan's one.
No, she's not.
75%.
Is that true?
Yeah.
She seems tough.
She's a little tough because she's a comic, tough. But so is Eliza Schlesinger, and she's not lesbian.
You think Eliza Schlesinger seems tough?
Abrasive?
No, that's her act.
No, she likes to... I like Eliza, but she's cunty.
You think she's cunty?
She is cunty.
Oh, see, I don't know Eliza like
she's
that.
She's short with people. She's tough.
See, I don't know Eliza like that.
But I like her.
Interesting.
She's cool.
Maybe I just look at her chest the entire time. That's my problem.
Oh, God, she's got a great body.
I know.
She's got a great fucking body. It's fucking a sick. And I knew when she was fat.
It was weird how it was quiet there for a second.
Because we both imagined
We were like...
What were you imagining doing to it? Anything or just looking at it?
I like it with clothes on. So I don't know if I want to see her naked. Like,
you would.
Tight dress. She was never fat. I don't know her long chubby. Enough to know.
She was chubby.
Really?
Yeah. And the attitude she has, if there's any... She has attitude. She's a tough girl.
Really?
That's all it is. I wouldn't say cunty, but she's a tough girl and it comes out that way. The attitude she had when she was chubby, too.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't know her like that.
Yeah. She dated Brett Ernst for a while.
I can see that.
And but she transformed. She became that butterfly during that time. And I remember saying, we knew her before, and then they had that Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy tour premiere. And she came out for that in this black dress.
I bet she looked gorgeous.
And it was like it was almost like she was like, hey, we got this premiere about 4 months from now. Do what you got to do because there's going to be some stars there. And she got in shape. And you looked at her and you were like, God damn it.
You know what the turn off for me?
What?
Is she's a comic.
She's a comedian, yeah.
It's with any girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Well, that's why you wouldn't like date her. That's why you wouldn't date her anyway.
That's why myself, I wouldn't.
But,
I wouldn't.
But
date
it has nothing to do with how hot you find her.
No, not at all. I wouldn't date any female comedian.
Girls always do that when you're ever talking about like 1 to 10. How hot is she? And girls always like, well, it depends if I liked them or not.
What kind
of people they are? If you had to rate somebody 1 to 10,
no, what does that mean when girls say that?
I don't know.
That.
It's like when guys just say how hot are they? It means just by their looks.
I think
girls always like what kind of person are they? And you're like that doesn't matter to the 1 to 10 or how hot.
I think it's because they think money, success, stable.
Yeah, they're into that. They're not into just looks.
And I get it. It's just they're annoying.
But we're just talking about looks.
They're just annoying. So you never gave me a name. There's not that many lesbians that aren't dykey.
The girl who used to open for...
Look at you.
I can't even remember the guy she opened for.
See, you're even going, you don't even...
But I can't remember the guy she opened for either. Craig Shoemaker.
You're still proving my point here.
What's your point?
Lesbian.
No,
lesbian
causality
girls.
Is not. I'm a pothead. That's why I can't remember the name. Okay. Not because they're not around.
Don't use that as an excuse.
I'll find you right now.
No. You're looking up online.
But you'll know the names.
You'll
know the
up,
names.
Like,
when I
all right. Okay. How about this?
What?
How many gay dudes do you know that are cool?
That don't seem gay.
No, that are gay.
Justin, I'm friends with Martindale. Jamie from the store.
That's what I'm saying. See how many you click out? Like, we're talking about
a
gay
lot more
son,
dudes at the store.
Lesbian daughter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which would you rather? I'd rather have a gay son. I just feel like it's easier.
I say lesbian daughter because the possibility.
What do you mean
the possibility of a three-way? And how hot
But
that
that's
would
your
be.
Daughter.
Well, I don't
Yeah. See, you say that now.
I'm not
but
internalizing. Obviously, I wouldn't if I'm my daughter.
Exactly.
But I'm just imagining this fucking hot 17-year-old girl and her fucking hot friend.
Yeah, but this
Let's
is
get
your
down,
daughter.
Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can get down. We can get down right now.
See, then she's not a lesbian.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, I'll change the fantasy.
And you don't
Becky,
like
it's time for dinner. Becky? Becky can... Oh, my God. Becky, Margaret, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing without me?
You don't like lesbian porn. It's
no,
boring. It's boring. Yeah,
it's the worst porn.
It's the worst. You're like, liquor harder. Ugh. No.
Lesbian porn is the worst.
It's
I don't get into
worst.
It at all. I'm like,
you
get
can't
the guy
put
in
yourself,
here and let's get started.
You can't put yourself in it. I remember
That's
in
why
college.
I don't like interracial porn. Because I can't imagine that black dick is my dick.
That's
unless
good
it's
for
sick
you.
And dying or something.
I can't watch it because I'm just maybe jealous.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, I remember in college, I was telling all my friends.
I had the same problem with Asian porn, too.
I can't watch Asian porn either.
I can watch the Asian girls in porn. But I have to imagine it's a white dick. It's my dick.
There's very rare that you see Asian males in porn.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
They have Asian male and Asian girl.
And you want to see, when you see porn, you want to see the big dick.
Yeah.
And I remember in college, they like lesbian porn. I don't know if they were homophobes or what. But I was like, no, I need dick in my porn.
Yeah.
I need dick. And they're like, ugh. I'm like, really?
Yeah, people go, that's gay. I'm like,
no, it's not gay.
Because I like watching heterosexual sex.
Ugh.
Somebody said about me, because my old next door neighbor used to tape him fucking people, and he would show it, play it for me. I was like, oh, weird, dude. People are like, oh, it's so gay. I'm like, why is it gay? Because I know the man in the porno.
It's turning me on.
It's turning you on?
It's turning me on. I think voyeuristic sex
me
is
too.
On.
I'm so into voyeurism.
You know what's funny with my girlfriend?
Yeah.
Sometimes the pictures are hotter than her in real life. Because I think
really?
It's not I think to me, because I think I watch so much goddamn porn.
Yeah.
It's like me watching porn.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because
even though
she's pretty in real life, I'm just like,
ooh.
Oh.
You take videos of her?
Oh, yeah. Well, between us. Yeah. I don't set it up.
Right.
Yeah.
I've wanted to once like set up a camera just so we could get it natural so the girl doesn't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no.
Only for my own devices, not to give it out to anybody.
Oh, no, no. I that's my big thing is recording.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love it.
Wait, okay, hold on. Okay, we're going to get into this open relationship thing. Let's do this. Do you have any dates coming up? Like a month and a half from now, 2 months from now.
Oh.
That'd be the ideal.
End of July? I'm just trying to think. I don't know off the top of my head. End of July, I'll be in Portland at Harvey's Comedy Club.
Okay, bam, there you go.
There you go. And I think I'm at the Punchline sometime in August in San Francisco. I can't remember the date.
Okay.
Yeah.
August, San Francisco, Punchline.
Yes.
Punchline's a cool club.
It's a great club.
I just did Casa for the first time myself. I just headlined for the first time one night.
Did you sell that out?
No,
that's
but it was
huge.
It was pretty big. But,
yeah.
But the whole downstairs was packed.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll
on
come
a
back.
Wednesday? One night on a Wednesday?
Yeah, you'll come back.
It was a tester market show where
of
they're
course.
Like, let's see how you can do.
Of course.
But then I did real
Isn't
well.
Isn't great?
It's
the food's great.
Oh, everybody's great. What's his name's great? Kevin.
Kevin.
He's
he used
cool.
to be a comic.
Uh huh. Still
then,
is sometimes.
And then Mike
which
Bernal, Mike? The manager.
Which one is Mike?
Kind of stocky, like, Mike Bernal.
He Mexican looks like
dude.
Mexican.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
him too.
He's good to
and
God.
The black guy's fun.
Black guy. All the
and
door
Molly
guys.
Came for a while, I always liked her.
You mean the door guys?
No, this guy was like a manager. Maybe he's a door guy. I thought he was an assistant manager. Maybe he's just a door guy.
Usually the black guys are the bouncers.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Abe.
Abe from Sacramento.
He's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, he's awesome.
okay, so those are your dates. Let's get to say something about the sponsor real quick. Which sponsor? I'll let you choose which one. We have three. You want to do Spotify, Amazon, or Gamefly? You're a Silicon Valley boy.
Yeah.
These are all right there.
Let's do Gamefly.
Okay. So my deal is if you go to Gamefly.com/Ari, and there's a link for it on my website, just a banner, and they give you a 15-day free trial.
Ooh.
And then they give me like enough for like a gram of weed. Like they give me some cash.
I didn't know that.
If you just sign up for
and
a
And they
free
don't
trial.
Care if you talk about this.
They don't care.
So I don't understand.
If Gamefly cares if I mention marijuana in terms of video games, they have a big problem and a bad fucking company.
They don't know their market.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't know their fucking market.
Yeah. You should have a controller that has a fucking bong attached to it.
What is a gram of weed?
I'll show you.
I don't know anything about weed.
Okay. This is an eighth container.
Is that less than a gram?
It's different. It's like meters to feet. Doesn't quite go.
Okay.
A gram of weed is in one of these containers. These are all eighths. An eighth is three and about 3.5 grams. It's not an exact market, but they sell them as grams because it's easier to sell.
How much is a gram? It seems like a lot.
A gram comes in these thinner, smaller ones. For the fine stuff in L.A., and people out of town, especially in Canada, are going to go crazy about
this. You have so much fucking pot. Holy shit.
like 10
different. I'm just looking at you. You're going through multiple, like, what are those prescription bottles? I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Why do you have so many different kinds?
It's a couple of reasons. One, I like variety. And two, I'm a hoarder. So once I see things going,
God.
Like, getting less and less, I'm like, oh, I don't want to use it because then it'll be gone forever.
So how much is a gram?
A gram.
Can you talk about this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
A gram, a good gram at Zen Dispensary. Zen Dispensary, I'll just give him a free plug. It's Santa Monica and La Cienega.
Okay.
It's on Santa Monica, just on the southeast side of Santa Monica. Southeast side of La Cienega on Santa Monica.
Yeah.
It is one of the best dispensaries around. It's one of the original ones. Then, like, if they shut down all but five, that'll be one that stays
open.
That
would be one of them. Okay.
All their stuff is really smooth. It doesn't make you cough.
Yeah.
It's a little bit pricey, but not crazy pricey.
Yeah.
Not like the pharmacy, which you can't go to at all anymore because
exactly.
That shit's not that good. But everything you buy there is top shelf. Is great.
So this is going to be expensive.
Yeah. So it's a little bit pricey than normal, but for a good, gram, it's $20. A pretty good gram,
that's
it's 15.
It?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like that much money.
No, it's not. And like, how long would it take? If you're a casual user, from when I started to go through this, took me a gram would take me a year.
A year?
A year to go through. I'd smoke a bowl, and that means half a bowl, like a few hits.
But if we had to go with that gauge, you have enough pot here to last you about 20 years.
This is apocalyptic level.
It's so crazy to me. Like,
I also have hash in there.
This is a culture I know nothing about.
Really?
Nothing. I know nothing about pot.
And then I have like bigger things from like my friend when I buy like an ounce from my friend.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
I know the powder stuff is called Keef.
Keef, yeah.
I think if I had to do it, I would do that because it seems the coolest.
Keef gets me high like in the movies. Keef and hash.
It gets you.
We're like, dude. And I'm like, wait,
you
what?
Can't function, though, like that. It's too much.
You can function, but not like I shouldn't smoke hash and then go on stage. That's
oh,
a lot.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Definitely not for a showcase or something.
No, you'd get rocked.
So an okay gram is 15. In the Valley, a good gram is 20. A bad gram is 12 to 10. An okay
that
bad gram.
That seems cheap.
Yeah. An eighth is anywhere between 50 and 60.
Because
sometimes 40 in certain places, and sometimes 75 in the expensive places.
I know that cocaine is way more expensive.
Way more cocaine.
Why is that?
It probably costs more to make.
Is that it?
Yeah. You can,
or is
this
it
is
more,
a weed that you can
is
get
it
anywhere.
More illegal?
I think the problem is, in most places, it's just the same level of illegal. Which is like one of those things where potheads are like, look, I get it if you want to make it illegal, but not that illegal. It's not the same shit as coke and heroin.
No, that's what I'm saying. In California, it's way more
illegal. California's legal.
Yeah.
Coke is more
illegal.
Coke is
way more illegal. I feel like that's why it's way more expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about meth. I don't know much about drugs, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drugs are pretty great.
No, drugs are fun.
I don't know much about them either, but
drugs are fun. Like, you know, I was going to tell you the
mushroom
story.
What's the hardest thing you've done?
Probably coke.
Are you going to tell me the mushroom story? Yeah, we never got to that.
Well,
let's
do that
right
in
now.
The next segment. Oh, we're going to do that
right
now?
Right now, it's part of this segment.
Since you already did the...
Goodbye?
No, since you already did the sponsor.
Oh, okay. So it's just this. So they give... If you go gamefly.com/Ari, sign up for a two-week free trial. You can cancel it fucking 14 days.
Okay.
You can keep it going. It's a good service. If you play video games, it's fucking good. Because the problem is, you buy video games... Do you play games?
I do play video games.
What games are you into?
I only play like two games. Halo and Madden.
Halo and Madden.
And Mortal Kombat, so three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say a game came out, like a new Mortal Kombat's out.
Yes.
And you got it, and it fucking sucked. And then you hear all these reviews being like, yeah, this isn't a good one. It was made by shitty reviewers. It was made by like this other company that wasn't making as good as the old Mortal Kombat. You'd be like, motherfucker. And how much would you have wasted on that game?
Ah, $60.
$60.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. On Gamefly, you can get a month for that, and you can return it immediately. Like, this sucks in 3 days. Just return it.
So now for $20.
It's like Netflix.
You get any movie, and then you get 2 grams of pot.
I get a gram of pot.
No, I'm saying if you're a regular person, instead of spending $60 on a game, you have $20
a
month.
Let me just say this. The people signing up for it, they don't get a gram of weed.
No.
I do.
I know.
Okay. If you're at home thinking you're going to get weed in the mail with your game.
But this is what they can do with their money that they're saving.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Exactly. So they get $20. And they get unlimited video games, and then they have an extra $40 to spend on 2 grams of pot.
I like that.
There you go.
Exactly.
There's my Asian coming out.
Gamefly.com/Ari.
Check it out.
There you go. Do you want to smoke some? We'll smoke some later.
I will not.
Okay.
But, I will watch you.
Okay, fair enough. Let's do the mushroom story.
So I'm doing shows in Amsterdam with Jimmy Dore.
Awesome already. That's awesome. Already an awesome story.
Tony Woods is there.
Nice. I don't know that guy well, but he
very
seems cool.
Very funny. But this is when I was first, like, really, like, 3-4 years into it. I was way too... I just got Montreal. I got it way too early.
New face?
Yeah. Way too green.
They told me to stop trying at some point.
Why would you even need to do it? You're not a new face anymore.
Well, it was 3 years ago.
You should do it just the Dirty Show.
Oh, I did. They told me to do the Nasty Show. Like, but I want to do New Face. I won't get anything out of Nasty Show. And they're like, Ari,
you're not gonna
stop. We're never going to take
you're
it
not going to get anything out of the New Faces show.
Well, by the time I wanted a manager and an agent.
Oh, okay. But you got all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's all fine. It's all shit you looked into.
That's
what
I'm
saying.
You
know what I want to do? Would you be interested in this at all? Okay. We'll get to the story. Would you be interested at all in, I want to have this class for all the new guys at the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, it's not a stand-up comedy class. It's just the real shit you need to know here.
I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do it?
I wouldn't do that.
I just want to take their questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they're like, what do I have to do? What's the secret? I'm like, no secret. Don't listen to anybody how they do comedy.
You're a better person than I. Like, you're good at giving that advice. I think they should learn on their fucking own.
But I think what's missing is people saying, no, go to the improv and make friends with managers and agents. That's how you get a manager.
Oh, yeah,
just be really good and they'll all come. No.
Yeah, it's.
Bobby Lee lied to me.
Bobby lied?
He lied.
Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Bobby Lee lied to you?
I forgot you did that Kims of Comedy.
You are lying.
Yeah, he likes to lie.
Yes, he does.
He's a fun liar, though. He makes fun stories of his lies.
Yeah, he's fucking ridiculous. He looks like a little fat ball.
Do you not get along with him anymore?
We were never that close.
Okay.
This was funny. Everyone thinks we were all friends.
You came on later for the Kims, right?
No, we all came same time.
Okay.
Were you like the guy
who cleared the luggage for a while?
I was the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
every tour has that.
Of course. And I was that dude.
Nobody wants to go on first. Shay.
Yeah, it's
go
me.
Warm
it's
the
me.
Crowd. Yeah.
What's funny is people think we all hang out. The only guy I'm really close to is Ken.
Really?
Dr. Ken. He's the only guy. We talk like almost like
Dr.
once
Ken
a week.
Is so fucking nice.
I know. He's so nice. And he's so famous.
Yeah, he's so famous now.
It's crazy.
I saw him at the Improv the other day. He was doing that thing with Mike O'Connell.
Yes.
And it was nice to see them both, actually.
Yes.
But and I had this thing. Once somebody becomes super famous and I haven't seen him for a while, like Ren Aziz is becoming famous, not like Dr. Ken famous, but like famous.
But you started with Ren Aziz.
Yeah. But like, but I see him more often, so there's no change at all.
No.
But when Dr. Ken and there's other people, I should keep telling him Dr. Ken. Ken Jeong.
It's so easy to do. It's a fun name.
Yeah, Dr. Ken.
Yeah, Dr. Ken.
And that's how you knew him.
Yeah,
that's why
it's
he just
Dr.
goes.
Ken. That's fucking hilarious.
Bobby Kelly's always like, it's like it's Robert Kelly now. It's like, oh, well.
Oh, is it really?
My brain didn't get the memo. It still knows you. It has you registered in the fucking phone
Did
book
really
there.
Change it?
He just goes by Robert more.
Interesting.
I always know it's Bobby Kelly.
Well, you know what's weird is
Billy Burr changed his name to Bill Burr.
Was it
he was
Billy,
Billy
Burr?
When I started, he was Billy.
That's got to be annoying.
Like, hey, no more Billy.
That's got to be annoying because he's an adult.
Yeah.
To be called Billy.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like, I'm a fucking grown man.
Unless you're Corgan, Billy Corgan. He's a director.
Yeah, but I could see him going, Billy. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I think if I was knowing Bill,
yeah,
I just think anyone who would call him Billy, he would snap.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I think that was on his headshots before. It was Billy Burr.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
We'll have to look this up.
I'm pretty positive it was Billy Burr for a while.
We'll
and then he made a decision. I'm going
to
change this to Bill Burr. But I don't know for sure.
God, we go on too many tangents. So
this should be called the Tangent Podcast.
Yes. God. So let me hear the Ken story.
Oh, so I saw him. It's not really a story. But I saw him. And it's like, one, it's like a little weird because I'm like, now you're a movie star.
Yeah, he is a movie star.
And I don't know if you know me because I'm not one. I'm not in your industry anymore.
He loves stand-up.
He does. And he was a great – he
doesn't
killed.
Do stand-up anymore.
He doesn't, huh?
But he loves the world.
Yeah.
Like, he loves the world.
So I'm a little bit on edge, and then also, he was blasted drunk.
Was he?
He probably has no memory of meeting me. Him and O'Connell
O'Connell drinks.
So bombed.
That's so funny.
That it was like, one, I feel weird. I like you a lot, but I feel weird because of the celebrity thing. We need like a minute. Now the drunk is not letting me overcome this weirdness.
Well, it's probably because he was hanging out, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be
at the improv and hang out.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with people who hang out.
If I got drunk with them, it'd be okay.
It'd be different.
But I walked in stone sober. I always liked you. And I'm like, I can't. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do this situation.
You don't want to bother him.
But man, that guy was always nice. Real, real, like,
nice.
Supportive.
He's
all the time.
Cordial.
Dude, that one joke you had. I love that.
Are you that guy? I'm not that nice.
I try to be because I realize those people are cooler and they're more fun to be around.
Yeah, but you don't have to be that nice.
No, but if you really have a joke somebody likes, it doesn't kill you to say something to somebody.
Okay.
It's going to make their day.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I realized it was with Chris Fairbanks. I was on mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
We'll move straight into the story, and then we'll wrap up this podcast. By the way, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and whatever else. And iPhone now, I think they have things.
People are going to listen to this and like, this Asian dude rambles. They don't talk about one thing for more than
anything.
2 minutes.
I wrote some stuff down to get back to.
Okay,
Bill
let's
Burr
see the mushroom story,
anyway,
and I'll tell you mine.
And then we'll get out. But what was I just saying now?
Jesus Christ. Chris Fairbanks?
Oh, yeah. I was on mushrooms. Thank you. The mushrooms tour.
Yes.
I have not even smoked pot yet today, by the way. Don't blame it on marijuana.
I don't know.
Only long-term use.
There's only so much goddamn marijuana here.
I was on mushrooms coming down, too fucked up to drive, but in my car.
Yeah.
Trying to, like, just crying every once in a while. And just thinking about,
you big homo.
Crying from beauty. And just thinking about the people. I remember writing Kevin Christie, just saying, hey, man, your father died a couple years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
And I never properly expressed to you how sorry I was that happened to you.
What did he reply?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and then I think he wrote back the next day. I was like, oh, I was on mushrooms. I'm sorry. I am sorry your father died, but I told you when it happened. Like, whatever. Why?
Just like,
Yeah, and then I was like, I should be nicer to people. When I have these good feelings about people, I should let people know. So I wrote Chris Fairbanks. I'm like, hey, man, you have a unique delivery style. And I think it's interesting. Technically, from a technical stand-up point, that style you have of accidentally saying the wrong thing and then going on a long thing of like, oh, what would it be like if I said that? Like if I said, close the door, and I said, close the floor. It'd be like, oh, close the floor? What would that be like? And he'd go on these long tangents. I'm like, that's a weird thing to get into, and it's unique and it works.
If you would have said that to me, if you said that, I would like, go fuck yourself. Like, I don't take compliments well.
Yeah.
And I know how we as comics, or me especially, fuck with people. Yeah. Like my buddy Rob Martinez, he's a comic, I think you know him. I he cut his hair. I was like, oh, your haircut looks good. He goes, fuck you. I go, no, no, for real, it looks good. It's weird. It's weird to get compliments. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it feels
especially from someone who's not a fan. Does that make sense?
Oh, another comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's tough to be like, oh, thank you, man.
Yes.
And like, I'll get to it later. Louis told me this once after the Nasty Show.
Okay.
We got into this talk about we were watching Broken Lizard at Metropolis in Montreal. Then we were walking back to Club Soda to do our Nasty Show. I did it the whole week. He was just doing it for the taping.
Yeah.
Or just doing it for the last night or something. And I was like, I'm going back there. And he's like, I'll walk with you. And then I was like, hey, so you really, it was like early, I was like, are you really going to do another hour a year? You know that's crazy,
right? I bet
right?
he gets all that. He gets
especially now. It's been a while.
Exactly.
But he like broke down to me exactly how he did it. And then I've heard him since then in interviews like say the exact same thing. It definitely wasn't the first time he told anybody.
Yeah.
How Chris Rock told him certain things about moving into all of it. Really interesting. But then afterwards, after my set, he was like, hey, man, that was really funny. I was like, oh, thanks. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, yes. But it was like, you got to just be chill.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things like with the whole fresh hour thing.
Yeah.
I just worked with Bill, and Bill said it best. He goes,
this will tie back to the very beginning. Yeah, this is the only point I want to get back to.
Uh-huh. And Bill Burr said the best thing. He goes, working with Charlie Murphy right after
Chappelle Show
broke, they're on that I'm Rich Bitch tour or whatever.
Yeah.
He looked at Charlie, never did stand up, maybe a couple weeks. He just went on and he had to do an hour.
From scratch. Yeah.
He's like, if he can do it, I can do it. The problem is we've been doing it so long, we fall back on shit. We turn into pussies.
The only thing I disagree with on Louis thing, not disagree with, but just say it doesn't apply to every person.
No, it does not apply to every person.
But there's two things. One, with Burr too, I can't work out at the three clubs in LA every night that I want to. I can just walk in and be like, I'd love to go on tonight.
That is true.
At best, I can do one spot a night.
Fair enough.
Two, I don't get a chance to call a network and say, hey, I'm going to be recording my special this year, August 20th, I'm thinking.
That's true.
So that I can actually put it out for the world and then move on. If we move on from our bits, it's like, then that bit's done forever. And no one ever sees it.
Yes.
No one ever gets this thing I toiled over.
Well, you're right. We should wait till it gets on television.
Slightly different. Or at least an album of some
exactly.
level.
Exactly. But three, those two are very talented.
Yeah. But this is what Bill Burr said to Tom Segura. Which gets in my head that I tell everybody.
Okay.
And Tom was like, because he was like, dude, you wrote a new hour. I saw it special. He goes, yeah, I'm ready to record my other one. He goes, how do you write a new hour in a year? And Bill goes, bro, that's 5 minutes a month. You can't write 5 minutes in a month. It's embarrassing, right?
It is
embarrassing. It's
embarrassing
when you hear it like that.
When
you hear it like that, it's embarrassing.
My immediate response would be, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself 5 minutes a month. But that's all it is.
Go fuck yourself.
That's all it is. It's 5 minutes a month. And that's when you realize a minute a week, a minute and 10 seconds a week.
Yeah, but when you put it in that perspective, it's obnoxious, though.
But I'm doing it.
No,
I'm doing it this year.
I get it.
And you know what? I've had it as my pace. I'm like, okay. That means every month I have to have a new 5 minutes. So where am I? If I'm 6 months in, it's better be 30 minutes.
No, but it also
and you get ahead or behind schedule.
What you said about those two guys, there's at least a handful of other comics who can call a network and say, but they can't do the same thing they do and be funny.
Because they're not the best comics in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
It is. We forget about that. We forget that, oh, yeah, Michael Jordan played, won three more championships. Well, he's fucking Michael Jordan.
It's like, well, he always took the last shot. It's like, yeah, because he was the best player in basketball.
And, I'm not trying to put these guys on a pedestal.
But it doesn't mean you can't strive to be the best comics in the world.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Let's say you fall short and you become Greg Fitzsimmons or Todd Barry.
No, those are great guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you know what I mean? I like those guys. I thought you were blasting them for a second.
No.
Like,
I'm saying those are really good comics. They don't get generally included in, like, these are the best comics ever conversation.
Because they don't have the notoriety.
But they're great comics.
They're great comics.
So if I fall short and become Todd Barry, that'd be fucking rad. That would be fucking rad.
Yes.
If that was my career and my life and I had that level of respect from people and I could put out that kind of new material.
Douchebag manager and the wrestler, too. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
exactly. Here's the thing is I like all kinds of comics. Like I was breaking it down to Jimmy Dore, and then I'll get into the mushroom story.
Yeah,
I was telling Jimmy Dore he's on the road. He stopped going on the road as much because he has his radio show, which he loves.
Yeah,
and
Poppin' Politics.
Yes, and he's like, oh, you know,
he loves
sometimes
he's into politics.
Yeah, it's weird. I am not.
I am not either. But if you're into that, listen to Jimmy Dore's show.
He's great, and he's like. He's like, the road's tough, and then you got to deal with these guys who are there the week before. We're talking about road hacks, right?
Uh-huh.
We all know who these guys are. We don't know them, but they exist.
Yeah.
I used to hate these guys, but now I'm like, no, this is fucking great. We need those guys.
Why?
We need those guys in the business to keep the clubs going. They're the dishwashers.
Yeah. And those guys, you're right, those guys allow Louis to think of a new act like this.
Yes.
And to do okay.
Yes.
Well, until he becomes great.
And it keeps the clubs going.
Because don't worry, the club's going to make their money last
week. Exactly.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is, they're the dishwashers to me, and I'm the cook. I'm that celebrity cook, even though I'm not that big. This is what I tell myself in my head. Like, this is all delusions that keep me going.
Yeah. I had that when I did one of my first headlining gigs ever was Mainline. It's not around anymore. The Mainline Theater in Seattle. It's right across from the old Key Arena.
Oh, wow.
It's just a bar now.
Yeah.
And it was just a bar then. But it was like they tried to make it a comedy club, but they didn't really change the inside, so it wasn't set up for comedy, right? But one of my first gigs. And she goes, hey, just so you know, people don't like dirty here.
Oh.
And I knew at that point, and this was like,
that must have been great for you.
6-7 years ago. Yeah, I was like, just so you know, the type of comedy they don't like, the type of dirty they don't like, is not the type of dirty I'm doing. I'm doing top shelf dirty where I'm not trying to be dirty.
Okay.
And I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
They will respond.
Yeah,
your open micer was dirty and he didn't get a laugh, please don't blame it on dirtiness.
Oh, that's
blame funny. It on his lack of experience.
And then so how'd it go?
It went great and I was filthy.
I was waiting for you to go and I ate it.
No.
That would have been a better end to the story. And I fucking ate shit.
I hate being dirty because whenever I don't do well, they blame it on that. When other people didn't do well, it was like, oh, tough crowd, the material's not quite right.
It's such a weird thing. Anyway, let me get to the Jimmy Dore mushroom.
Yep.
So see how it all comes full circle?
All full circle.
We're like a Tarantino
That was the
film.
Only note I had, by the way, is from the very beginning from Bill Burr to wrap that up about the 5 minutes.
And
now
a
we're doing
Tarantino
everything.
Film.
So people say, well, I interrupt, we get back to shit.
Exactly.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Fuck you, people who listen to me. So we went out. So it was me, Jimmy Dore, and Rodney Laney, black comic from New York.
Okay.
So we're going up, and Jimmy bought these fucking mushrooms.
And Tony Woods?
No, Tony wasn't with us. He was on the show, but it was just us three hanging out. So
Jimmy Dore found mushrooms.
Of course. And I've never done
mushrooms. How do you find mushrooms in Amsterdam?
Exactly.
What do you do? You just go buy them in stores there?
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Yeah, he literally went into a store and he goes—
Just like pot here.
Well, he goes like this. He goes, can we have some mushrooms that's going to make us think nothing to get us crazy?
Uh-huh.
So he was like, all right. So we took a bunch from Rotterdam to Amsterdam in the train. It was the most disgusting I've ever tasted in my life.
Oh, yeah. Don't
I wanted
great.
To throw up.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to fucking throw up. So we get up there. It's fine. And it just starts kicking in. So the first thing we do, we go to a sex museum.
And we're
a sex museum.
Okay.
So we're walking around. And there's this old— remember that movie Big? Tom Hanks?
Uh-huh.
Fortune Teller Machine?
Yeah.
So there's a machine that looked just like that. Instead of a chick, though, it was a dude.
Okay. Right?
And you're supposed to come into it. And he's like, come here.
The Swami?
Come here. Yeah. But he's got a jacket. And then when you come close, he opens up and his dick comes out and it squirts water at the screen. I just freaked out. I'm like, we have to leave. We have to leave. So we left that. Dude, it was the worst. So then we're in the red light district and everyone's coming at you to come in and have sex. And there's
drugs. Do you know about Shroomfest?
What?
Do you know about Shroomfest?
No.
International Mushroom Festival, July 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Where?
All over the world, just like Christmas. You're going to be taking mushrooms one of those days.
I'll do mushrooms, but I can't be in a real...
Sure, go out in nature. July 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
So we did it, and so we're walking, and like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So we went on a boat ride. So it's like me, this little Asian dude, Jimmy Dore, this fucking crippled Irish guy because his back was fucked up, and a big black dude with dreads all fucked up on mushrooms on a boat.
In Amsterdam.
Yeah, on a boat, just looking at the sky. It was awesome. And then we got off. I will say, so it was coming down a little bit. I was never so clear-headed in my entire life. I could remember everything from the last 3 days.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
You were still on them, though.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then it stopped.
There's an amazing drug.
And then it was coming down. Then we went and
there's different stages of it.
Yes. And then we got hookers.
They all sort of different in the different stages.
And then we all got hookers.
You all got hookers?
Went into the rooms. You go in the rooms.
Yeah.
It took forever. Because of the mushrooms.
The mushrooms makes your orgasm. That's usually when I take mushrooms, the last thing I do is beat off. And it lasts, instead of lasting like 40 seconds, like a regular beat off, it lasts 6.5 minutes. And the orgasm is so epic. It's so awesome.
She was not very happy.
Oh.
Because it took forever.
Yeah.
At one point, she's like, all right, can I just use my hand? I'm like,
Were you jackrabbiting the whole time? Or were you like slowing down, trying not to come?
It was such a weird experience for me.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you get to choose.
Attractive it's, naked lady.
It's
yeah.
window dressing. Window shopping. They're in windows. You know that.
So you go, like, you, come on.
No. They're in windows, like window
really?
Displays.
Like a lobster?
Yes. Like a shopping.
I'll take that one.
Like down on Melrose, all the windows. It's like that. Instead of clothes, it's women. And you go, and she goes like this. You go in a door, and then you go into
so each one has a separate door?
Yes. And they close the window blinds.
Meaning like
public.
Occupado.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you do your thing.
What thing?
You do your thing. Sex,
sexual
whatever.
Relation.
What was weird?
Crying.
Was
whatever your thing is.
Yeah. Whatever your thing is. Cry, massage. And it was just fucking nuts. And
how much? Were we in Amsterdam from that Montreal trip?
Yeah, for shows. We did shows.
Damn it. Did you get that from Montreal?
Yeah,
we got it from Montreal. That's the only thing. I wanted that trip, and I never got it.
The one trip that you should have gotten was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a free trip to Amsterdam. They pay you to do some TV show out there,
right? I ate it.
Yeah, but it's like, who cares?
Yeah, but no, you don't feel good eating.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're just like, no matter how much you don't give a shit, you still give a shit.
Is that gig still going on?
From what I know, it's called the Comedy Factory.
Oh, fly me out there. Do it. Get me to do it. I'll go do it.
Just mention it. I'm sure.
I'm mentioning it right now to these people. I'm mentioning it to the microphone. Who's in Amsterdam? Get me out for that gig. I'll do it. I'll do that gig.
It will happen in August or September because Montreal's coming up July. Yeah.
So that guy scouts new people.
Call your manager or
say
whoever.
I want that gig.
And say you want this gig.
Okay.
You want this gig.
Maybe I can surround it with like England and like some other gigs while I'm over there.
And you probably kill over there. I ate it because I was sarcastic.
You were new too.
Yeah, new didn't help. Being sarcastic. Yeah. Robert Kelly.
Yeah.
Or Bobby Kelly, whatever. He killed it.
Yeah.
You know who killed it? Maria Bamford.
Really nice.
Crushed it because the voices.
She's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. And then the funny, we did warm-up sets, and I did this rape joke, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And the funniest thing after the show, Maria Bamford's mother came up to me. And she goes, I really love your rape joke. And I couldn't stop laughing. You think of Maria as old sweet lady. And I was like,
whenever she's in the room, Maria Bamford.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she's a comic. I know she fucks.
Yeah.
I know somebody's fucked her. It's like, it doesn't, it's, but it's like.
I never thought of it that way.
But it's like, you're a regular person. But whenever I do anything dirty when she's there.
You feel weird.
I feel bad.
You feel weird because she's so nice.
Yeah.
She's so nice. We should get over that.
We should, where it's like, no, I do my thing and she appreciates all types of comedy.
She does.
Yeah.
She's very.
But I feel like, this isn't as smart as your comedy is.
Well, the problem is because the alternative scene can make you feel that way.
But it's all internal. We're doing it to ourselves. People like Maria Bamford,
they don't care.
They don't. They like comedy.
They know the road.
And they're confident in who they are.
They don't have to worry about it. It's just the underlings.
Yeah.
Every scene has the underlings. know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we were these people. Yeah.
We were that at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a San Francisco comedy underling.
I was a comedy store underling.
Yeah, and we think we're better than everyone because we're better writers.
Comedy store comics are better than your comics. Yeah. And the comedy store comics are like, what? Shut up. Don't talk that way.
Once you get over that, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. But there's still guys who never get over it.
Yeah, they stay in that.
Yeah, it's
not a competition. You're not in any group that you happen to be in.
Yeah. It's weird. Our competition is...
It's like girl comics. Whenever Carolla comes out and says girl comedy sucks or whatever, and everyone talks about it. I love the arguments everyone gets into about it. We're like, is that true? She said that. And whenever the people are talking at a party, no one ever says, hey, guys, but we all think that's true a little bit, right?
The girl...
But here's the thing. Here's my biggest problem with it. Is it the reaction from the girls? They get so upset about it?
Yeah.
But I want to be like, and not all of girls do, but I want to be like, hey, girls, you're not a girl comic. You're just a comic. So this doesn't really affect you. If Adam Carolla said something about tall comics, I'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm not a tall comic. I'm just a comic.
It's one of those things.
I mean, I am tall, but that's not who I am.
This fucking reporter tried to suck me in to this question. She goes, so what do you feel about girls? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was a newspaper interview. Yeah. And she was like, what do you feel about female comics? They're bigger. And I was just like, it's fine with it. She goes, what do you feel about the saying that girl comics aren't funny? I go, well, most comics aren't funny.
Yeah.
Majority of comedians, white comics aren't
funny.
This
is the most commonly used cop-out I've heard from this question. This is the easiest way people try to get out of this question.
How?
Most comics aren't funny. When you're like, but really, you're not answering the question.
Yes.
And the reality is this. I'll say it the best way I can. Because Maria Bamford is a hilarious comic.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites to watch. I learn. I'm a better comic when I watch her. I'm like, I see her techniques and I become better.
She commits.
Yeah. The rate of male comics that are bad, percentage-wise, seem to me to be lower than the rate of female comics that are just...
Because there isn't as many.
And there's also either because of, let's say, pregnancy... Or let's just say Hollywood needing funny women and taking them away from comedy, it doesn't give as many women the chance to really develop to the top level, to the Bill Burr levels of comedy.
Yeah.
They move to something else sooner.
You know what?
And so they don't continue to develop. Kids in the Hall, this problem, where every time they, like, well, how come you don't have any females? And, like, we had a bunch of females. Every time we had one, the fucking CBC would take them and give them development deals, and then we couldn't use them anymore.
Yeah.
And then we get another one, and the CBC would take them. And eventually, like, let's just keep it all guys then.
I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't really care either.
Like, yeah, most female comics I have seen have not been funny.
Yeah.
But there just isn't that many.
There's not as many female comics.
There's
total.
Way more many white male comics. Like, you could say that about black comics. You're like, there's not many black, because there's not as many as white comics.
The smartest I ever saw written up was Robert Hitchens' article about it, where he talked about the societal. My fucking vocabulary has gotten so bad with pot.
This isn't important. We really strayed off. As long as we did.
So you're fucking this girl with on mushrooms, and you just couldn't come.
I did.
Eventually,
it was not as big as you.
It wasn't a great orgasm.
No, I think it dribbled down her fingers.
Wait. Oh, she jerked you off.
Yeah.
Dribbled down her fingers.
Yeah. It was what it was.
That's really sad.
I was happy to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, whew, this is really coming down. I'm really tired. It's time to go home. It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mushrooms are awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. That's the only time I've ever done it.
Okay, you're doing them this July. Because in 2012, Shroomfest falls July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
I feel like you just made these dates up.
Yes, here's how I made it up. Here's when Shroomfest falls.
Yeah, but who acknowledges this?
People all over the world.
Is it like Guinness Day?
It's a little bit like Guinness Day.
Okay.
But it's become a real thing.
Where the hell do you get all these drugs? I don't understand how... this is how little I know about drugs.
Yeah.
Is how easily accessible drugs are.
So accessible. People are like, I don't see drugs. Your eyes aren't open.
I don't know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diaz said once we were in Philadelphia, he goes, oh, see that Coke deal? I'm like, what? What Coke deal? He goes, that guy just shook that guy's hand. I'm like, I saw that. He goes, didn't you see it lasted longer? And I was like, I didn't notice. It was right there.
I like alcohol.
Yeah, you're a boozer. That's your drug.
Yes.
And you can get your drug at fucking 7-Eleven. You're super lucky.
It is great to have that convenience.
All over the country, you can get it anywhere during the day.
Yes, it is nice.
It's harder for other drugs.
Yes, like you can't travel with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
you can get yours at the airport.
I see guys on the road who just fiend for pot.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this is your thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. You can't.
No, no, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, when I'm on the road, sometimes I get bored. You do not. I'm not talking about you specifically, yeah. But comics, like, because then you spend 30% of the time looking for pot.
Oh, no. Either I take some with me. I almost always take some with me.
How do you do that?
Illegally, I guess.
Yes.
But I either put it on my carry-on bag, or I put it on my check bag, or occasionally.
They don't care.
That's pretty much it, actually.
They really don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care.
And here's
the
deal.
As long as it's not humongous, like kilos and shit.
And here's why I think it's okay. If me, Ari Shaffir, who is a legal medical marijuana patient in the state of California.
I'm glad that you explained that.
Well, I smoke pot legally here.
Yes.
Okay. In Minnesota, I smoke pot illegally. But here, I smoke pot legally. If I fly from here to San Francisco, I should be allowed to take, by the rules of California, my medicine with me.
Oh, yeah,
because it's not illegal anywhere I'm going.
I never thought of it that
And when
way.
They check your bag, they don't know where you're going. They just know you're in a place where it's legal. I have a friend who leaves his medical prescription right on top of his pot.
Really?
Just right on top. So don't even ask. Here it is. Here's where I'm allowed to have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then people are pretty cool on the road. They hook me up sometimes. They give me joints.
Yeah, I can see
so
that.
So I can have it back in the hotel room or wherever.
Yeah, people do that.
It's really cool if you give a comic a joint on the road. It really is. Because it costs you probably $4 or $5 total for the whole joint of worth of weed, and it really makes their – they can smoke it during the day tomorrow. It's really going to make their day better.
Listen, viewers or listeners.
Listeners.
Listeners. Yeah, viewers. Listeners, that's Ari's plea for pot.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's – it's
Do you
cool.
take drinks from people? See, it's annoying to take drinks from people.
I try not to because they're paying for
and
it.
And they own you.
And I don't want you – Yeah, you're right. It is like they want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it's one of those
Until you
things
finish
like,
your beer, they own you.
Yeah, and it's just like, I get them for free.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, no, don't waste your money. Yeah. The club gives them to me.
Would you buy a t-shirt?
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
Hurry up. They'll spend $20 on a shot. Well, just buy this shirt.
Yeah.
Because then you'll have something.
Yeah.
Have something. Like, you buy me this shot, I'm going to want to walk away.
Yeah.
I think we hit everything.
But we didn't get into the things I wanted to talk about. But all right, this one's over.
Oh.
Thank you.
What did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the adoption.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
I guess we're not getting into that. Maybe I'll come back.
And now the open relationship.
Oh, it's great. But it's not. Tell you this, though. What? It's not as open as it used to be.
Okay.
Because it's 5 years now.
Yeah, and I want to talk about how you developed into that, too.
Yeah, it just happened naturally. This is the only girl.
No.
Oh, okay. I won't get into it.
Okay.
You don't want to get into
it. We'll deal with it on that episode, which could happen right now, but nobody has to know. All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Ari Shaffir.
That is our episode, bonus episode with Kevin Shea. It's done. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please follow Kevin Shea on Twitter if you can, if you get a chance to see him live. He's a very funny comedian. You guys will enjoy him. So check him out. Seriously, if you get a chance to see him, that's not going to disappoint you. So I guess let me just go over some dates real quick. If you guys are interested, if you're not, you can go away. But I'm just going to run down my dates if I'm in your city. Honestly, this is... The only reason I do this podcast is so people can come see me. So if I'm there, I'm not. I think you'll enjoy it. And it'll make me happy. That's the way to support anything I do here. It's just to come see me. I'm having like a one show at Cap City. It was already fucking amazing. This is just fucking cool. I just like cool, awesome crowds. Anyway, so here's my dates coming up. I'm in Just for Laughs in Toronto, September 20th through the 25th. We just added, or we're trying to work out the details to add a show on the 25th, because I'm not supposed to be doing anything, but on the show, on Clandestiny, at one of my favorite rooms in the world. Like, seriously, it's like one of my top five rooms in the world. And so, if you get a chance to reserve those tickets, do that too. It's this great pot room. It's just great. And I've got a bunch of other shows around, so check their website for that. Then, the 26th through the 29th, I'm in Indianapolis at Crackers. Corpus Christi got canceled. October 12th and 13th, gigantic show in San Diego at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Me, Steve Simone, and Steve Renazzisi are all doing a show together just to fuck it and hang out so we can be with our friends for once. So that's definitely going to sell out all four shows. So if you're a fan, you should come get tickets. Renazzisi is going to be headlining. And then October 19th, 20th, and 21st is the DC Improv. Super excited to be back there. October 25th, 26th, 27th, it's Helium in Portland. November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, it's Yuck Yucks in Calgary. November 8th is the House of Blues show, me and Doy Diaz. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, September 14th, at 10 a.m. Hurry up and get them. I'm telling you, it's going to sell out quickly. And they might not at a second show. So 10 a.m., call in. Then I'm off for a few weeks. Then the last week of November, the 28th through December 2nd, I'm in Minneapolis at the House of Comedy. And that's it, you guys. And then January, I'm in Edmonton at the Comic Strip. But that's it. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. I really appreciate your continued support. And if you want to, tell a friend. If you're enjoying these, tell somebody who's kind of like-minded to you that, you know, you enjoy these and why. And maybe they'll get into it too. That's how shit gets spread. That's how shit gets spread. People talk. All right. Oh, and my CD is coming out again, September 25th, Revenge for the Holocaust on iTunes. Go to my website and get four free tracks. Just go there and I'll just email them to you. Just free tracks. Just there's a widget on the top side. Just hit it and I'll email you four because I think you'll like it. Okay. Talk to you guys later. Bye.